Good morning, Etheridge Church family.
Gary, stop.
Good morning.
Here we go.
Good morning, Etheridge Church family. James, Sean, and I hope that you and your family are doing well. We have been praying for you in these unprecedented certain times. As the number of confirmed cases continues to rise and the phrase social distancing has come into our vocabulary, we feel that we should heed the recommendations of the CDC and the health professionals to avoid assembling in large numbers and confined places. Please know that much thought has been put into our decision, and we are not responding in fear, but we are responding in love. Any measures we take will hopefully minimize the spread of the virus, assist our health professionals and hospitals to cope, and to protect the most vulnerable in our community. Thank you for taking this seriously, as we need to join in with the rest of our nation by playing our part in the fight against this virus, as we could have a big impact on the future. These decisions provide us with a very unique, exciting challenge as we seek to figure out what the church will look like during this time. As you know, this is uncharted waters for us as a church. We know that there is nothing better than being together in one space, but we would like to encourage you to worship, knowing that God will be there with you. With the new restrictions, we are about to practice what we preach. We have been preaching for decades things like the church isn't a building or a program, it is the people. Will they be just words? Or will they be something that we truly believe and live out? My prayer for us is that we bind together in love during these uncertain times. I pray that we have a commitment to the Word of God and to prayer. The virus cannot cancel the Great Commission. Let's continue to help people find and follow Jesus by being His hands and His feet. Let us be generous with our resources and continue to give to the Lord's work, caring and looking out for each other. Lastly, I want to remind you that God is on the throne. In Psalms 92, we are reminded that He is our shelter and refuge, and He is our everything. If there is anything that you need during this time, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. The church is ready and willing to be there for you. Let us worship God together. Let us pray. Father God, we are so thankful for this time that you've given us. Father, this time that we have to set our minds and, Father, to think about you and to worship you, Lord. Father, we just ask that you be with us. And, Father, we know that it seems like we're always asking. But, Father, we need your help. Father, we need your help as family, as Christians, as we come together. Father, that we may look and see the good in things and see how we can reach out and help others. Father, we ask for help that you be with the medical personnel, the doctors, the nurses, all the health professionals, and Father, the scientists as they seek an answer to this problem that we are coping with, which is unprecedented during this time. And Father, in our lives, we have not seen anything like this. And Father, we pray that you be with the leaders, our local leaders, our state leaders, our national leaders, and the worldly leaders, Father, that they look to you, Father, that they look to you for guidance. And Father, as a nation, we bow down and come to you on our knees, Father, asking you for this help during this time. Father, we know there are many people in our church here that are not feeling well, Father, that they have other sicknesses, other ailments, Father, some that are in the hospital. And Father, we ask at this time that you be with them. Father, you strengthen them during this time. And Father, that maybe during this period they can completely heal, where that someday, hopefully in the near future, as your church, we can all gather here together and worship you in one spot. Father, continue to be with the youth of our number here, Father, that you continue to be with Ben as he leads us. Be with Cody as he leads the youth. Father, that we may be encouragement to them, Father, and that we can study from your word. Father, we know sometimes in difficult times it brings out the worst in people. But Father, give us a chance to look upon this as an opportunity that our light may shine and people can see you living in us. Father, continue to be with us, and Father, always forgive us if we fail you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
No matter where you are this morning, always know that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How wonderful, oh, how marvelous is my Savior's love for me. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver lined. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see. When my Lord is living in me, I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part. For the Lord's Supper this morning, Jesus, let us come to know you. Jesus, let us come to know you. Let us see you face to face. Touch us, hold us, use us, mold us. Only let us
This morning, our Lord's Supper looks very different. It may even feel different. But I want to challenge us this morning to look at Scripture and to think about, is it different? Are we doing things differently in a way that matters, or are they things that are situational? Let's look at Scripture together. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 26, and we'll start in verse 17. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12, and as they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were sorrowful and began to say to him after one another, 'Is it I, Lord?'" Jumping down to verse 26. "Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This morning I want to look at Scripture and I want to find out what is it that we need to do as God's people, as believers in Christ, to remember this sacrifice they made, to remember this institute of the Lord's Supper. First is we must prepare. Jesus sent his disciples to prepare for this dinner. And though we have made preparations as a church to be able to give you these emblems of the Lord's Supper, have you prepared yourself this morning? Have you prepared your mind? Have you prepared your heart to take of this meal as in a respective way, in a commemorative way that it should be? Have you prepared yourself for this meal? Second, it was so important to Jesus that this meal was broken together as family. As the apostles gathered around the table with Jesus, they were brothers. They were brothers and believers in the true and living God. And that was what was important to Jesus, is that they were together to share this meal. And though we are not together in a building, the church is much bigger than that. And Jesus knew that. And so I pray that you realize that we are together this morning, that you are together with your family and you are together with mine. Lastly, he asked us to remember. And many times we get stuck on the remembrance of the sacrifice that he made. And that is so important. He asked his apostles to remember the body that he gave up and the blood that would be shed. But do we remember more than that? Do we remember the sacrifices that Jesus made throughout his entire life? Do we remember the things that he stood for and spoke out against, that he believed in, and made sure those that were around him knew he believed in those things? Remember what Jesus did for us this morning. It was so much more than an organization. It was the kingdom that he was dying for, so that you and I could have a chance to be there. Though this morning this meal feels very different, and I must admit it is a little strange, I think if we follow these steps, I think if we follow these guidelines that Jesus has laid out for us in Matthew, I think he will be well pleased with this commemoration of his life this morning. Let's pray for the bread. Father God, we give you all the praise and all the glory, God. We're so thankful for this morning that you have blessed us with. God, we know our circumstances are different, but Father, we want to give you the praise and the glory through it all. And Father, at this time, we want to praise you for Jesus' body that he willingly allowed to be hung upon a cross, for him to suffer, for the body that he used to glorify you, and his hands that he blessed others with, that he healed others with through the power that you gave him. Thank you for that. Thank you for his body. We pray that we take this bread in a way that remembers that. And God, also this morning, we want to remember the blood that was poured out. Though the physical blood was painful to lose, God, we know that it signifies life. That it signifies the blessings that you give us through Jesus, through the blood that he shed. And God, we are so thankful for that this morning. God, even so more this morning, we feel the blessings that you give us. We feel that protection that you've coated over us. Father, we just praise you and we thank Jesus for that blood. Amen.
Lord Bean comes and speaks to us this morning. Come we that love the Lord. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne. And thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
I believe God is found in honest moments. And honestly, right now, this is just a weird moment. Something that none of us have ever experienced before. I remember as a youth minister preparing this perfect environment for ministry to occur. And it didn't occur. And I remember being let down by that. And I remember those moments when I had put absolute no preparation into a moment for the kids. And one kid would be honest about something in his or her life, and God would show up. I walked into a hospital room recently with my grandmother, and she said to me, I'll edit for church purposes. I had a first today. I had somebody give me a bath. I laughed and I said, Mama, you're 91. That's pretty awesome. You don't have very many firsts left. And she said, this is one I could have done without. But I thought about for that honest moment for me that occurred there is she doesn't have a lot left. And what she has left is pretty honest, pretty serene. Even though we may hate it, it's also beautiful. A life lived well. I want to talk about honesty a little bit today. And I want to do it from Paul's perspective. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. I think these are words for where we are currently. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our earthly dwelling. We good? No, it's, please let it go. That's honest too. We're good. So we're recording this on the phone, and the phone rang because that's what phones do. We'd like to apologize, but again, it's just one of those honest moments in our unique times that we live. I'll start over. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for the very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Honesty and awareness. Now, I'm going to give you three honest points, I guess, points, but they're going to flow in my mind, each and every one, into everything that I'm going to talk about. The first one I want to make you aware of is the honesty of awareness. Paul says here in this verse that we just read, we make it our aim to please Him. Let that sink in for a minute. I think that if this passage could be found in other places, we could find this idea of we make it our goal, our aim, our drive to please Him. We could find it in the Golden Rule, do unto others as you'd have them do to you. Or we can find it in the greatest command, from Jesus' perspective, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second is likened to it, love your neighbor. Because you know when you love someone, you want to please them. But Paul brings it all into one major priority. The first priority is to please Him. We can think about what is important. What is first important? Is it growing big church gatherings or is it saving souls? But Paul brings it all into perspective to say, no. Our first priority is to please Him. And anything that contradicts that has to be brought into the light, and done away with. There are many, many false goals that we have in our life. False idols, if you will. And when you think about these things that we hold sometimes so dear, I struggle with a lot of these things. I think for me, some things are traditional, and I do my best to uphold them, not to get anyone angry, because I don't want anyone angry, and I don't want to ever be divisive. But sometimes we put such importance on things that are so minimal, where we don't always pay attention to what is important, pleasing Him. When I think about honesty of awareness, I think about my grandmother and that story that I told, and I edited it, like I said, but I think about God shows up in those honest moments, and I think about Elijah in that cave, in the quietness, he met God. And then it says that he walked away so Elijah could see his backside. Or from Paul's perspective, it depends on what version you read. I think the King James had dung, and then the New King James had rubbish. But it's Paul's idea of what is in the world means to him compared to knowing Christ. It's dung or rubbish. Useless. Get rid of it. And that's a real goal. Because in that goal, we are striving to please Him. One of the biggest failures of the Pharisees was not just their hypocrisy, but it was their delusion. Their delusion, because they were living an unconscious lie. They were trying to be holy, and so they made themselves self-righteous. But that wasn't a goal. It's not the priority. And any priority that tries to come before that, we have to constantly be aware of. This takes a very, very intense awareness year after year, day after day, where we bring into perspective what is important in our lives. Next, an honesty and reflection. Paul also says in this passage that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Whether preacher or member One day we will stand before Christ. And initially, this could be something that is quite scary. But for us who have given our lives to Christ and have chosen to walk in the light, we understand that that day will be a day where we finally get the opportunity to truly see what God has done in us and how we have moved about. But there is ever this thing that we must reflect upon, and that is that God will one day judge us. And that can be scary, because that calls for us to have an intense responsibility of how we choose to live our lives. I've told y'all many times before, I get angry. I get angry at people. I don't always lash out or say anything, but it's still there. It's in my heart sometimes that I get angry at people. And when I have these thoughts of bad thoughts about other people, I have to reel that in quickly. Not because I'm going to lash out, but because I feel like that I'm sitting in a seat that doesn't belong to me. I'm not going to sit at the end times and judge any man. That's not me trying to be humble. That's truth. That's honesty. And when I reflect on this idea of judgment, I know that I have to have this intense reality about one day God will have me in his presence, and I will give an answer for the deeds that I've done. But it's not just God who punishes sin. Sin punishes. It gets into our lives. It gets rooted deep. And we become averted from our purpose of who and what we are. You don't need anyone to tell you that. Everyone's been there at some point in their life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we were away from God, no one had to come to us and say, hey, you're away from God. You knew it. Because there was this missing and this yearning within you. And what we have to constantly be aware of is reflecting on our own life, our own heart, and our own attitudes, always with awareness that one day judgment is coming. Last. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians 7:1, I'll pick up this last one. This is a solid flow of thought for Paul as he works into this one. He starts chapter 7 with, because of these promises. I'm not going to go back over all these promises, but I want to read this verse to you and the end here and talk about that just for a moment, to talk about honesty of renewal. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. Bring holiness to completion in the fear of God. Bring holiness to completion in the fear of God. I think completion is an interesting thought. It's one I can get in my mind and chew on it. It's mental bubblegum for me. Because I know when we read this passage, we always think about the final product. If something is completed, it's final. But that's not what he says. It's not what he says at all. He says that we're bringing holiness to completion. Completion is not only a final act, it's a movement. It's a progress. And what we have to be aware of in our lives with a constant reflection and also this idea of constant renewal is that we're not finished. This is not a cliche. This is not a cliche. God doesn't make no junk. God's not through with me. This is a reality of us as God's children. As we walk and we move in life, we're moving toward completion. But yet, we are not complete yet. But we have to have progress. There are so many things that come into our lives and hinder our progress. But hindrance doesn't mean failure. I'm not always talking here about sin. Sin obviously is a huge hindrance to progress, but there are other things. Going back to the very beginning where I talked about the primary goal, false goals. They come in and they hinder us. Trying to be something, being proud. All of these things get in the way of being God's child. It's amazing. In religion, see what people find important. I think about the woman at the well, and I know I talk about her a lot, but as soon as she realizes that Jesus is a religious, holy, spiritual, possible Messiah, the first thing she does is brings up a religious issue and what was important to her. And we know historically why what she said was important to her. But it's not the most important thing. When it comes to categories and subcategories, it's way down the list. What's important is pleasing Him. And I know her question was about pleasing worship, but it's about pleasing Him, doing what He wants us to do, being who He made us to be, not allowing the people around us to set our standards, not letting a group of people set our standards, but always comparing ourselves to Him and always trying our best to be what He made us. This is both beautiful and scary, I think. It's a juxtaposition constantly warring against itself. Because there is that reality of end times, and it's going to be a very, very honest moment. I don't know how all that's going to play out. I sure hope there's not like a file folder that's going to be pulled out and they're going to read out the highlights of my life and the downfalls of my life. But I know whatever it is, I will stand before Him and I will be judged for the good and evil. Not a weighing back and forth, because we would all fail. But did we become what God wanted us to be? Did we move in progression toward completion? As we reflect on our world today and the things that are going on, I believe honesty is a thing that we could really bring in. I don't know if you've noticed a change over the last couple of weeks of basically our attitude in everything. And I don't think that, I'm not trying to say that people were dishonest and then they were honest. This is not political to me. The moment is that there is an honest reality going on in our world that we can't avoid. We talked about this recently. But we as God's children are not moved by circumstance. Sure, the ship of life gets blown here and too, but we stay anchored with hope. Hope in God. Hope in that reality. And we take courage, as Paul said. Yes, we are full of courage and joy. Not that our world is perfect, it's just as broken as we are. We take courage in the fact that we have a home that's not here. It's not here. We're in a tent. Our home is not here. I love that language of Paul. As we go all throughout this week, and our world continues to get maybe a little more hectic, maybe a little more scary, maybe a little more dark, I hope that you can remember that we dwell daily in God. And we bring all false judgments before Him into the light. And we do our best to renew ourselves on a daily basis in Him so that we can take courage and joy and move into the progression that God has meant for us. Would you pray with me, please? Father who art in heaven, how great and mighty is your name in all the earth. Lord, we love you. We pray that you would get rid of this disease that is in the world today. There are so many people right now that are in torture and torment because of this disease. Lord, our sincere hearts go out to Italy, and we pray that you would cure all of those people that are involved and bless the hands of all those medical workers, Father, that they may rein this in. Lord, we love you. We don't always understand the things that are going on, and sometimes this life is scary, but Father, we take courage and joy in you, knowing that we are right now in a temporary dwelling, one day going to be home with you permanently. This is our prayer today in your Son's name. Amen.
The Apostle Peter teaches us to be a peculiar people. Your worship service this morning, but I hope you've been edified, blessed through our prayers to God, through our reading of His Word, and through our singing and praising His name. We'll close this morning with one song, one verse. I hope you can share Christ this week as you shelter in place or as you go get supplies. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Will it work on the podcast? Will that work on the podcast?